Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, Mike!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing? You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend!
And General Mayhem.
My doggy! Wah!
Hey, everybody, it's Brandon Luna.
And Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars in Cinema.
Yes, sir.
Yep, we're doing it live again, baby.
Live and
sort of
alive.
Memorex-y kind of, because live for us, but Memorex for them.
Yes, so, exactly.
Yeah. But we're doing it the cool way, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And today we're doing a comedy classic, I would say. Wouldn't you say that?
Absolutely. This is one of the most important comedies of my life.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones that not a lot of people really know. I mean, if you were part of the 80s generation that grew up on HBO,
mm-hmm.
this was the staple. It was on all the time.
3-4 times a week.
Yep, and it is Private Eyes.
Who better to solve England's most puzzling mystery than these two international crime busters?
Yes?
Good day. I'm Inspector Winship. And this is my assistant, Dr. Tart.
For the law and the order.
Gathering vital clues from every available source. Step by step, Tim Conway and Don Knotts prove murder can be deadly in The Private Eyes. Who will be the next victim?
Got that message? Better send it off to the yard and let them know we're here.
I suspect that they would like to see me dead.
Well, you can relax now that we're here.
Danger is their constant companion. Fear is an unknown factor.
These people are dropping like flies. Don't you people realize that you're next unless we get to the bottom of this?
Tea isn't supposed to foam. Here, stir it.
These great sleuths, given the clue, come up with the perfect solution.
Hey, we must be near a bowling alley.
We have among us a murderer. And that killer is right here in this room. All right, hold right there.
Gun, a gun, give me your gun.
Tim Conway is the dim-witted Dr. Tart. And Don Knotts is the inept Inspector Winship.
Tart!
In...
Oh, my gosh.
The Private Eye.
Overly long trailers
in yes,
the 80s.
Yes.
We got 2-minute trailers.
But,
Jeez.
Don Knotts, Tim Conway, you can't lose. I mean, it's genius.
What a classic, man.
Oh, God.
Did you ever see this in the theater?
Yeah, we did see this in the theater.
The theater yeah. too. So.
And then it became on, we had on TV. We
go.
Weren't oh, HBO or, oh, no. Okay. That was the low
the lower end of the HBO thing. Yeah.
But, this aired 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do something we've never done. We're going to dedicate this show.
Okay.
I'm going to dedicate this to my brother, who's not well. And he and I watched this thing so many times. And I proved it to Brandon today. I have this movie memorized. And my brother and I, he was the Tim Conway character, Dr. Tart. And I was Don Knotts, Inspector Winship. Mm-hmm. And... Yeah, you've seen, I have this movie memorized.
Memorized verbatim.
And I haven't seen it in years, but I still memorize it. So this is to my brother, Danny. Much love to you, Danny.
Yeah. And to go along with that, you did get a message in
relation to that.
So explain that.
Jill Wagner does her cancer walk every year, and I contributed it in honor of my brother. And she sent me a thank you, and I guess we're going to hear that later in the episode. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll play it right now.
We'll play it right now? All right, cool.
Randy, hi, it's Jill Wagner. I just wanted to say thank you. Oh my gosh, I wish I could just come through that computer and just give you a big hug, but I can't. So I hope this is good enough. Thank you so much. Mwah! You really helped with my walk. Thanks.
She's so cute.
She,
yeah. says,
she is. And that's
she's
awesome
like this. And then she goes, thank you.
And
she's like therapy. That
she's
was
so
very
awesome.
Cool.
That she did
yeah.
it for you.
Yeah. Very cool.
So what was the deal with that? I mean, what was the reason that you did that? Thank you.
I contributed 5% of her entire walk.
Look at you, fancy pants.
I thought I donated 500, but yeah. apparently I donated 250 one night when I was drunk. So it was like 750 that I donated. But it went to a great cause. It's yeah. in my brother's honor. And it's Jill Wagner.
Yeah.
Come on. And she thanked me. So cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So to talk about Private Eyes a little bit, this is from the 80s. It was actually in
1980,
81. Yeah. It says 80, 81. It's, it's 1980 is what it says on IMDb. Listed as a comedy mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's very much in the Dashiell Hammett, mm-hmm. Raymond Chandler kind of 30s, 40s, mm-hmm. whodunit kind of mode.
Obviously, they're taking after the Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson thing
yes.
as Don Knotts and Tim Conway are dressed
yes.
like those characters, and they're from Scotland Yard. They're from
the yard. They were in the yard. Yeah. Movie's so awesome.
So this movie has a pretty great cast. You got Tim Conway, Don Knotts, Bernard Fox, who was just in a crap ton of stuff.
Who was Dr. Bombay in
yes.
Bewitched.
Yep, yeah. And I remember the last thing I saw him in, I think, was probably The Mummy. He played the
airplane guy in the mummy
yes, who crashed and died. Just a really great cast, and it's just a hilarious whodunit of a
Who's
movie.
Who's the hot chick? Something Noble.
Let's see.
Chelsea, here. Not Chelsea Noble.
I got it right here. Gracie, no. Nope, I don't have it right here. Trisha Noble.
Trisha Noble,
yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yes, gorgeous girl. And no picture on IMDb, a damn shame.
And I think she only did like two movies. She didn't do anything.
She was hot. She mm-hmm. was hot. Yep, so you want to give them the rundown on the plot since you are well-versed in this movie?
Okay. Don Knotts, Tim Conway have been called in to solve a murder of Lord and Lady Morley.
A
wealthy.
Such
we'll
a get
crazy
into that.
It's filmed in Asheville, North Carolina, but it takes place in England. Mm. And that house has been used in several movies. Mm-hmm. It's the largest residence in the United States, and it's in Asheville. And if I ever go to North Carolina again, I got to go take the tour. They give you tours. It's like 290 rooms in this
yeah.
house.
And supposedly anyway, a lot of the little hideaway super duper
yeah, they're real.
Things are there. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So
yeah it's cool. They got secret passageways. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so they've been called Lord and Lady Morley, very wealthy, older couple. Their niece or granddaughter, I can't remember who it is, lives there with them. They have a staff, you know, a butler, a maid, and I mean everything. Mm-hmm. A cook, a yard guy, you know, it's
one looks like Fleetwood Mac or
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The gypsy.
And Bernard Fox plays the butler mm-hmm. who can't stand hearing the word murder. Because if he does, he goes nuts.
Yeah.
And he'll try to choke the person that he's going. Anyway, so they're called in because they got a letter from Lord Morley saying, come solve my murder.
Yes.
Huh? That's one of my favorite dialogues. My brother and I did this scene over and over and over. It's so, so funny. Yeah. So basically, the staff starts dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to figure out what's going on, who's doing this, mm-hmm. and how can we solve it. And they're trying to protect Phyllis, Trisha mm-hmm. Noble,
yep.
the granddaughter or niece, I don't remember that part. It's just, and hijinks after hijinks happens
ensue, yep.
and stuff, yeah.
So the idea is that everybody on staff basically is eligible for some of the money
mm-hmm.
if they die,
mm-hmm.
and as it you know goes, the shadow, they call it,
mm-hmm.
starts basically killing off one by one the staff. So,
yes.
obviously, you know, the first person that you're going to think is the murderer is going to be their granddaughter. So,
right. Yeah. yeah.
So they're, you know, trying to prove that it's not her, basically, and trying to solve the mystery at the same time.
Right.
So, and there is cigars in this movie, which is why it's on
yes.
Cigars and Cinema. So
yes.
we'll get into the cigars in the film real quick here. At the 3-minute, 11-second mark, cigars are present
mm-hmm.
as Lord Morley is coming back to his car after his wife's been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
He drops a whole bunch of cigars in the car and you know, basically says, maybe I should organize my things, and then he gets killed as well.
Well, that's why he left the car, was to go back to his humidor to get over this, get some cigars.
At the 9-minute, 29-second mark, the guy that's running the gas station says, here, have a cigar. You're the two idiots that get your pictures in the newspaper. And he gives a Don Knotts a cigar.
You got stuff all over your face.
Which then goes into the whole thing with cigars being bad. At the 12-minute, 44-second mark, he throws the cigar, which then lights the gasoline on fire, which then leads to the line.
There they go, Roy. Two idiots. What's going to leave their mark wherever they go?
And then the gas station explodes.
That's the only time I can do an English accent is this movie. Yeah. That's it. That's weird.
Remember, at the 25-minute, 21-second mark, they see the humidor, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful walk-in humidor that's guarded by Dobermans, and it knocks them into one of the secret areas, which leads to a great
the
scene.
Candle.
The candle, yeah.
Light a candle. I don't have a candle. And then all of a sudden one appears.
Yeah, the shadow hands him one.
I don't know. Huh? Oh, good. Light it. Well, how am I supposed to? Huh? Yeah. That's so awesome.
Awesome. Awesomeness. Yeah.
Because the shadow shows up to help them throughout the whole movie.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
Just great. So one of the running gags in this movie is every time someone dies, the killer leaves a note.
Yes.
And the note is basically a rhyming note. It doesn't.
Kind of, it rhymes the first stanza and doesn't the second one. It's awesome.
So we're going to play kind of a long clip here, but it's a five-minute clip, but it's hilarious. It's basically just a scene of all the rhyming notes kind of one back-to-back. So if you've seen the movie, great. You're going to love this. It's going to be hilarious. If you haven't seen the movie, you know, probably skip 5 minutes ahead and you'll get the idea. Well, we've already pretty much
spoiled the
movie anyway.
But it's fun.
Yeah,
yeah.
So here it is.
Mr. you want some?
You did.
You sure?
See. Whoa! He did all right. He didn't even move.
Here. Read it now.
Out loud.
Out loud, you dummy. In this house, it's hard to survive. Some will be dead. We're now alive. Mr. Uwatsum is gone because he knew too much. Bye for now, but rest assured, we'll keep in constant contact with each other. Hey, look at that. You dig your own grave is quite a sight, but to bury yourself is not very bright. There are more to kill and the job will be done. Now there are five.
Soon
there'll
be
a lot less. Fresh tracks here. Come on.
If Jacques could talk, he'd give you a clue. But now that he's dead, what can you do? He deserved what he got. I don't regret it a bit. By the way, you're standing in full caca.
Huh?
Right. This is a note. Read the note.
I said when I died that I'd come back. If you believe in ghosts, you're on the right track. I'm out of the grave and roaming
the moors.
If you want to be safe, you better lock all the
windows
and
screens.
Get out of here, guard. You know something? That Lord Morley is ugly enough to scare a Wookala. They don't scare very easy.
This is one that I said.
What do you think?
I'll tell you what I think. I think someone else is.
I wonder if they cut that other part
sure
out.
It goes for you, huh?
I wonder if it might have been too dirty.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hey, a note. Let me see that.
Read that.
Hilda is dead, and here's something to note. You can't bury her at sea. Because her bosoms will float.
There was something dirty in
there. There probably was something dirty in there. It was PG.
Yeah. Why would anybody want to kill Hilda anyway?
Hey, look!
It's got engraving on it.
Yeah.
Now there's one less that has to be fed, but Justin can't serve you because he's dead. The guru was right. You can come back. When you said there was a ghost, you were on the right trail.
I don't know if Tim Conway always
goes. Yeah.
Powerful way to go. Looks like she's been.
The wind up.
Listen up, dummies. The help is all gone. The house is bare. Now you know a shadow lives there. There is one left to die. Then my job will be done. I like killing people. It's a lot of kicks. This doll will self-destruct.
It's a lot of kicks.
We've got to contact the yard.
Does Lord Morley's Bengal dancer spear? It was supposed to have been buried with him.
Hey, it's Nodon. Now you will see I can do something right. I'm going to show you a killer tonight. I want Phyllis to come to my chamber and see who was the one who murdered Lady Morley and myself.
So close.
So close. By that much.
I know, right? That was a great.
That's so that funny. So
good stuff.
Who comes up with that idea? I mean, Tim Conway's so genius.
Yeah.
And he did write the movie, by the way.
Yeah, it was him and one other gentleman. Tim Conway and John Mayers, not John Mayer, but
John Mayers.
Mayers, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just brilliant writing.
I mean it's joke after joke. I mean, they do the Walk This Way sketch.
They do the Walk This Way sketch.
Yeah, and it's genius how they do it. Yeah. Yeah. That involves the Bernard Fox murder thing.
Yeah. He gets hit in the nuts by one of the other servants.
Yeah, the mistress of the house or whatever. Yeah.
He's like, walk this way, and he's going to slump.
And I love how Don Knotts finally, stop it.
Yeah. It's like,
okay, I love this. My two favorite Don Knotts, Tim Conway movies are Apple Dumpling Gang and this one.
Yeah.
Now, in Apple Dumpling Gang, they were like side players, but they stole the freaking movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I love how, you know, like on Andy Griffith and Three's Company, Don Knotts is the funny, he's the comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love it when he works with Tim Conway. He's the straight man.
It's weird.
But yet he could still be funny at the same time. He's a great straight man. He's a great straight man.
Yeah.
But yet he gets shitloads of laughs.
Oh, yeah.
Facial expressions alone, to me, he's the best comedian ever when it comes to I mean, he makes Jim Carrey look boring,
yeah.
You know, as far as facial expressions. Because they're subtle, but yet big at the same time.
Exactly.
He was a master comedian actor.
He was a master at the wide-eyed shake thing. Yeah, he just does a little. Perfect.
Yeah, and Tim Conway can just play the dummy like nobody's business.
Oh yeah,
and they're both improv geniuses. So it'd be interesting to see
outtakes.
How much was improv.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You gotta wonder all the outtakes on this thing.
That one poem that rhymed.
Yeah,
we both. Think it was dirty and they cut it out.
They cut out the rest of it. Yeah. It was too dirty.
Because they're talking about bosoms. So, yeah. They probably thought, let's take that out.
Because
Tim Conway, I saw an interview with Bernard Fox and he said Tim Conway's goal was always to do comedy that the entire family could watch.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
So he probably cut out a really dirty joke there.
I'm sure he did.
Not that he's wholesome. He just likes to make wholesome movies.
Exactly.
And they were great. Did you ever see The Prize Fighter? It was not as good as the other two. But it does have some funny scenes. Remember the old lady under the glass table barking at him while he's trying to eat?
That
scene is awesome. I love this movie. It's one of the most important movies of my life.
It's comedy
just
gold,
awesome.
Man. It's comedy gold. And I think, you know, a lot of people think it was a flop, but when it was made for like a little bit over $2 million, and it made about 18, 19 in the States.
And did like overall, 25 like overall.
25. So that's still, today's
that's
market, that's
a
hell of respectable. I mean, you're looking at, they usually like to make, you know, twice, three times what it made. I think three times is considered a success.
Yeah, this did like 9 times.
Yeah, it blew it out of the water. So definitely something that's worth watching. If you haven't seen it, track it down. You can actually see it free online.
It's on YouTube, the whole movie.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, the whole movie's there. It's on Vimeo, it's on Daily Motion, anywhere you can find it.
Yeah.
It's split into parts and it's there for free to watch, and it's just hilarious. Great movie for the whole family. So if you got the ability to stream it, watch it with your kids, they'll get a kick out of it.
It's awesome.
It's not scary. It's got some, you know,
it's timeless.
Yeah, mysterious.
Because it takes place in the 30s, so you know.
It's got some mystery elements to it. It's like a Scooby-Doo cartoon come to life, basically, with a lot more humor.
Yeah.
A lot funnier humor.
And certain gags are genius. The time gun is genius.
The time gun.
Who ever heard of a clock or a gun that goes every hour?
Keep forgetting to turn that off.
You can relax now that we're here.
And then the bird thing. They keep trying to send letters to Scotland Yard with the pigeons. They keep killing the pigeons. Like, what, they throw it out a window one time. They finally get one off and it gets shot or something. Yeah, it's just so many different.
Well, when they first get to the Morley Manor, he gets a pigeon. Tim Conway does. He goes, I'm a little worried about this pigeon. His stool's a little loose, so play on the stool pigeon.
Yeah.
And Don Knotts goes, that's too bad. I'll have to put a get well card at the bottom of his cage. Genius. This movie's
cheesy
awesome.
One-liners. It's so funny.
It's awesome.
So funny.
Yeah. And for good, wholesome humor, it's the best movie you can watch. It really is.
Yep. Definitely. So let's get... I just, you know, I grin when I think about this movie because it was one of my all-time favorites when I was a kid, and it was on so often. I mean,
oh, yeah.
HBO was on every day, you know, almost, it seemed like it was on every day, and it was played multiple times a day, and it was just a stop down for me as a kid because it was just so funny. But yeah, just a fantastic movie. So we're going to get into some IMDb trivia.
All right.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That's the fact, Jack. That's the fact, Jack.
No horseshit, Jack. No horseshit.
So Don Knotts was apparently stricken with mono during the production. Mm-hmm. That sucks. It's mono. I mean, it's,
I've had it.
Yeah, but I mean, at this age,
yeah, that age.
Who was he making out with?
Good for him.
When Lord Morley's car drove into the lake and sank in the mud, the stunt double for Lord Morley nearly drowned.
I remember that.
That sucks.
Yeah.
First ever picture. First ever picture released by TriStar Pictures.
Nice.
Cool. But it was actually made under the New World.
New Line.
Yeah. Well, it was back then it was New World.
Where is it? Okay.
New Line.
Okay.
Which was part of
I don't mention Roger New Corbin's World thing. Anymore.
Yeah, I got it. But it was actually the biggest moneymaker for New World at that time through TriStar. The film was among the number of pictures, mostly comedies, made in the made and released between 70 and 80 that revived the old Dark House Mansion movie. These films included The Spiral Staircase in 75. Neil Simon's Murder by Death, which is another big one from 76.
Movie.
If you haven't seen that one also, that'd be a good companion piece to this one. The Cat and the Canary in 78, Private Eyes in 80, House of the Long Shadows, 83, and Bloodbath at the House of Death, 84, Clue in 85,
which
revived that thing, and then Haunted Honeymoon in 86, which unfortunately is probably one of the worst Gene Wilder movies
ever.
And you know, him and his wife, I mean, they're both really funny. Yeah. Not a great movie.
No.
Dom DeLuise and drag just didn't.
I would even throw in Young Frankenstein a little bit.
Yeah, to a degree. When the shadow rolls a bomb toward the detectives in the secret passage, Dr. Tart says, must be near a bowling alley. He's right. There is indeed a bowling alley inside the Biltmore House in Asheville, North Carolina, where the movie was filmed. Most scenes were shot in sequential order. Don't do that often.
No,
anymore.
They don't. And I never understood why they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I get it. But I would think as an actor, that would make your part easier
on
your part.
It's like doing a play where you get to, see where the character goes.
Right.
I think what Hollywood started doing, and a lot of the older films were shot in sequential order, but what they started doing was they had A and B crews. The A crew would do all the actory stuff, and the B crew would do all the special effects and stunts and stuff, and they just kind of combine them so you don't get everything filmed at the same time.
The actors have different schedules, so you have to work around their schedule.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they're a pain in the
ass. And weather.
Yeah.
Weather could play a big deal in it.
The Morley Mansion is actually a Biltmore Estates in Asheville, North Carolina, house which appears in many other films. Filmmakers had to insure the house for $400 million to make the movie there.
What?
Wow.
What are the premiums on $400 million?
I don't know, but they had to basically insure it for the whole time that they were filming because they didn't want to have it replace anything that break or whatever.
Yeah.
Sequel was planned, which would have revolved around the private eyes attempting to find and capture the Wookalar, but it didn't happen.
Too bad.
I know, right? Sixth and final major teaming of American comedy duo Don Knotts and Tim Conway in cinema movie. The two cameos later in Cannonball Run 2 and co-star in an animated telemovie called Hermie, a Common Caterpillar.
Never heard of that. I remember the Cannonball Run thing, and that's genius.
Yeah. Their other movies include Gus in 76, Prize Fighter 79, Apple Dumpling Gang in 75. Its sequel, Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again in 79. Shot, how many days do you think it took to shoot this?
30. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Most movies are shot over like a 3-4 month period. Mm-hmm. This shot in 30 days with a budget of $2.3 million. So that's really low. Probably not low back then.
No, that's pretty good back then.
Secret passage featured in the film actually exists in the Biltmore Mansion. Only a portion of the passages were constructed in the rotating wall. The only one that was constructed actually for the movie was the rotating wall, and the owner of the house liked it so much he decided to keep it.
Nice.
I wonder if they took that out of the deductible for the $400 million. The name of the hairy monster in the film is the Wukulaar. It is defined as being a man-like creature with pig-like face and superhuman strength. Moreover, the character of the caped figure is billed in the credits as being the Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shadow knows.
That's this, right. So that's right.
Interesting. During the shot, during the shoot, a priceless book went missing from the library in the mansion, and Tim Conway was accused of stealing it. In January of 81, former secretary...
Good. You're doing great.
Hey, shut it.
You're doing
good. In January of 81, former security guard Robert Livingston Matters was tried and pleaded guilty to stealing 60 rare books from the 25,000-volume library.
Wow.
Tim Conway was called to as the key witness to the theft for bringing attention to the missing books. As an employee of the manor went to show him a rare book and realized it was missing, that was what spurred the investigation. So he was an investigator in the...
Wow, that's nice.
Cool. The scene in the dungeon was shot early on, but the negatives were damaged and the entire sequence had to be reshot. That sucks.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about that now. They shoot everything digital now. It's shot on red and stuff. Peter Matz was the musical director on the Carol Burnett Show and had agreed to compose the score for this film as a favor to Tim Conway, so that's cool.
Nice. Yeah.
The animated sequence, which I always thought was very Pink Panther-ish, was actually designed in the style of the Pink Panther film franchise opening cartoon credits.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's one of the few opening sequences or credits that is awesome to watch.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you a hint of what the movie's going to be about. You know, there's and even some gags that are in the movie that are in
it.
It's
good fun, too, yeah. Don Knotts said on an audio commentary that the script was written in about a couple of days.
Wow. Can you
imagine that? Mm. Characters of inspiration for Winship and Dr. Tart, obviously a parody of Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. Winship wears the trademark Sherlock Deerstalker hat, but smokes a cigar instead of a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Both, however, are detectives for the official law enforcement bodies, whereas Holmes and Watson were both private sector.
Yeah.
Tart character is also a doctor like Watson. Name of the police force the detectives work for was Scotland Yard. The note left on Hilda's body is the only one that ends in a rhyme.
Okay.
We have a theory about why that is. Wukulaar was played by a production company's investment banker, Bernard Rosny. According to the book Mind Warp, a fantastic true story of Roger Corman's New World Pictures, this picture was their most successful film at the box office under Corman's tenure.
Nice.
Oddball range of characters who represented the mansion staff include a Nazi, a blonde, a butler, a gypsy, a samurai, and a hunchback.
Yes.
Body count for the film was 3. They include Lady Morley, Santa, and the skeleton in the torture chamber.
Oh, I forgot about the Santa part. Yeah, that's awesome. I guess Chris, I can't remember his line there, but it's something like, a lot of people are going to be disappointed or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So good stuff. I also like Clue a lot. Did you ever see Clue?
Yes, I did.
It was pretty fun. It reminded me of this a lot in the silliness, but this is definitely
not as good. Yeah. But I do like that one line, and I use it every now and then. But it's like the to make a long story short, too late.
Too late.
Yeah, that was a great line. Murder by Death was a genius.
Yeah.
Now I know Truman Capote is mentioned, and even in the, did he write it? I don't even remember who wrote that.
You got me on that one.
But that's a parody of the Dashiell Hammett, Raymond Chandler. I mean, they have sort of Nick and Nora Charles. It's like Rick and Laura or something. You know, it's real funny.
Written by Neil Simon.
Oh, Neil Simon. Death. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And, you know, they have everybody in there. They've got the... Mm-hmm. They got the...
Got the Sam... Peter Falk is Sam...
Yeah, Sam Diamond.
Instead of Sam Spade.
Sam Spade. Alec Guinness is a... Benson Mum.
I don't know who that is. Must be.
Peter Sellers was Sidney Wang.
Yeah.
Eileen Brennan was Tess Skiffington.
Mm-hmm.
Truman Capote was Lionel Twain.
Yeah.
James Coco was Milo Pierre, I guess. But yeah, they were all based on other, like, they had the Thin Man in there. They had the...
Yeah, you know, Sam Spade.
Yeah, they had them all.
Yeah,
all
that was awesome.
Charlie Chan. Yeah.
And was Peter Falk already Columbo, or
I think he was already Columbo by that time.
Right.
Yeah.
So it just worked right for him to play Sam Spade because he looked the part and had it down. Yeah.
It was in 76, so it was actually before Private Eyes.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Didn't know that. I thought it was after.
No way to tell you how important Private Eyes is to me. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I would act out scenes from the movie at family parties.
Oh, yeah?
Like, hey, you and Danny act out Private Eyes. You know, that was our thing. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
fine.
See,
I was an only child. For me, it was Richard Pryor live on Sunset. I was a little 9-year-old kid cussing my head off the Richard Pryor stuff. So, and George Carlin live. It was at Carlin at Carnegie.
Mm-hmm.
I do whole skits of that for my parents' friends, and they just got a kick out of it. So,
and my brother and I also did Who's On First. We had that down.
Oh yeah,
to the second.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
It was awesome. And an aunt of mine posted a clip of Who's On the First. Mm-hmm. And my other aunt says, remember when Randy and Danny used to do that at parties? So that was kind of cool that they remember that. That's cool.
That was way cool. Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool stuff. So what other movies in that time frame did you latch on to?
Blues Brothers. Yep. That was about the same time. Mm-hmm. I'd seen it before, but they kept showing it on TV. Mm-hmm. Heaven Can Wait. What's that? A shitload of times.
Yep.
Caddyshack.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Stripes.
Yeah, Stripes is a good one.
Those are the ones really that stand out. How about you?
Yeah, I'd go Ghostbusters on that list as well. I mean, that was an 80s comedy that really kind of resonated with me at the time. Super funny stuff. Caddyshack was a big one. I mean, I watched that like all the time. There's a lot of them that are, you know, underrated. I think that kind of got passed over. Like Real Genius, I thought was really good.
Yeah.
As one of those 80s comedies. There was a whole slew of those that happened all around the same time that were the science movies, like Weird Science, Real Genius, My Science Project. There's one other one, I think, and Real Genius to me was probably the best of the three. Here's a list of 10 criminally underrated 80s movies. They have UHF in here, which I thought was pretty darn funny at the time.
Yeah, Michael Richards, that's where he got.
Yeah. That's where he got his whole Kramer stick from. And Penn and Teller Get Killed, did you ever see that?
No.
No, it was a Penn and Teller movie. Young Einstein, I did not
like. Yes, I did not like that one.
That I will pass on. Ice Pirates, do you remember Ice Pirates? That was silly. Night of the Comet, which I loved because it was a comedy horror.
Yeah.
And there wasn't that many of those at that time. After Hours, which is another one you haven't seen. Martin Scorsese, black comedy. Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Yeah. True Stories, which I don't really consider a comedy. Fletch was a good one in the 80s.
Fletch had moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first Fletch, I think, was really had a lot of moments in it, but after that, the second one was pretty lousy. But, you know, Tim Conway, Don Knotts, you can't beat those guys.
No.
They were
genius.
Yeah, super awesome at the time.
Yeah. And I sent you a clip like 2 years ago with the elephant sketch.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Did you finally watch it?
I did watch it, yes. Yeah, it's
good
fantastic.
God.
I really wish that they had all those old Carol Burnett episodes that you could see them somewhere, but mostly it's like you got to buy a DVD set, and it's only like clips and not real whole
episodes.
Well,
they've got a new one where it's supposed to, it's like 5 years of stuff that have never been reissued.
Really?
Never been re-aired.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to get that.
We found a couple of the DVDs at the library of all places. Mm-hmm. And you can't find them at the freaking stores anymore, but you go to the library, they have them there. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of Carol Burnett, like best of Carol Burnett scenes, and we showed that to my daughters. And Zoe didn't get it. She's 7, but Sydney was laughing her ass off. She thought it was hilarious. So.
That's cool.
Classic.
I will cry when Tim Conway and Carol Burnett die. I will cry that they were so important to me. I loved them.
Yeah, me too. I mean, growing up, that was the stuff. I mean, that was the show that I watched with my family.
I'd rather watch that than Saturday Night Live back then. Yeah. I thought that was such better sketch comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Harvey Korman cracking up over Tim Conway.
Yep.
And Tim Conway did that on purpose just to see if he could break him. And it always worked.
He always broke him. He always broke him. Always. I mean, you just can't not laugh at the guy.
Awesome.
Even when he was just on, like, Johnny Carson and stuff like that, I mean, he would just go crazy and just make people
laugh.
Carson
one time said, I want to introduce a new stand-up comedian, blah, 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 Tim Conway. And he comes out and he did stand-up, and he'd never done stand-up in his life.
Oh, wow.
And I cried. It was so funny. Johnny Carson cried.
Yeah.
He was like, why haven't you been doing this? You're awesome. You know, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tim Conway's a legend.
Yeah, he really is.
And Don Knotts, of course. You know.
Yeah, of course.
It's probably the most iconic comedy character ever is Barney Fife, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
for
sure.
You know, he won an Emmy 5 straight years
Wow.
for Best Supporting Actor in a TV show.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
And he beat Tim Conway a couple of those years.
Oh, yeah?
Because he was on McHale's Navy. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
But yet they became buddies and did stuff together. That's
great.
Cool.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And Tim Conway, of course, worked with Harvey Korman and Don Knotts and other people.
Yeah.
He said Don Knotts was his favorite. He said it was a pain in the ass in real life, you know, because he always bitched about everything. Mm-hmm. Room service sucks and blah, blah. But he goes, once you start rolling, he said he was the greatest ever. You know, that's awesome. Yeah, because the hotel that they stayed at during Private Eyes, the filming, was like 35 miles from the house because there were no other hotels around. And Tim Conway drive them to the set, and the whole day, you know, the whole drive, Don Knotts would be like, looks like it's going to rain. Room service sucked. It's like, Tim Conway would be like, oh, jeez, I got to deal with this every day.
Then they turn it off with the camera and just be fine, so.
It's probably why they shot it in 30 days, because he's like, I'm sick of listening to him.
Probably, you never know. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of good memories there as a kid watching those little, you know, Carabinette clips and stuff, just classic stuff. Tim Conway doing the old, the office manager.
Mr. Tudball?
Yeah, Mr. Tudball.
And, you know, that came from a traffic stop. Mm-hmm. He got stopped for speeding, and he thought maybe if he sounded like a foreigner, he could get out of the ticket. And he made up that voice right then.
Yeah.
And it made himself laugh, so that's when they wrote that into the show.
Did he get the ticket, I wonder?
I don't know. I don't remember that part.
Probably made the cop laugh enough. He's like, ah, get out of here. Stop speeding. I'll have to put a clip in there. I'll have to find one of those clips and stick it in there. It'd be perfect. Yeah, man. I mean, just, you know, I'm sad that he disappeared for so long.
He did the dwarf thing and...
Yeah.
He got a ton of popularity from that.
Yeah, he did.
And he did an episode of Coach where he was his landscaper.
Mm-hmm. Genius.
Oh, my God. It was funny. Yeah. I think he got nominated for an Emmy just for the one episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, the guy's still working. He does voice work on SpongeBob and stuff. And he's been on a couple of he's been on Glee and does voices on the DreamWorks How to Train Your Dragon cartoon. So he's still... still there.
How old is he, like 80-something?
Yeah, he's got to be in the 80s. Let's see here. Find out what it says here on the old IMDb. It says he is 81.
Mm.
Born in 33.
Wow.
He's been doing it a long time.
Yep.
But yeah, the guy is super talented and still sharp as a tack when you see him on stuff. Hot in Cleveland, he was on that too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing little parts here and there. Still doing dwarf stuff up to 2011.
Wow.
Wow. That's crazy. Wizards of Waverly Place, CSI.
Wow.
An episode of CSI. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that thing I was talking about, the Hermie and Friends thing, that was in 2010. Wow.
I'm glad that he's still working.
Yeah, that's cool that he's still working, yeah.
Somebody like that genius level needs to be working.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely one of my faves. Just cracks me up. Everything you see him in just makes you smile, makes you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
He's just super, super funny. The dwarf stuff wore a little thin on me. I kind of got...
I didn't... want to watch Dorf. Yeah. It seems stupid. And one day I was actually going to play golf, and I'm in the clubhouse, you know, getting ready to pay my greens fees and stuff, and they had a Dorf episode playing. So I turned around and watched it, and I wound up laughing my ass off.
Oh,
it was funny.
He was married with children in four episodes on that.
Really?
Four-episode arc. Yeah.
He was on... what's that? Still Standing? Or... Not Still Standing.
Recently?
He and I think Vicki Lawrence played husband and wife. Oh, Mad About You, maybe.
Yeah, he was on Mad About You.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, Drew Carey Show, he had an episode on there. Touched by an Angel, an episode on there. Seventh Heaven, he played Santa Claus in that.
Nice. You know, he wanted to be a jockey.
Oh, yeah?
Growing up. He was too fat. He had the right height, but he didn't. He was too fat.
Surprised he never did a movie as a jockey.
We did a movie called Long Shot with Harvey Korman. Did you ever see that?
Mm-mm, never did.
It's a funny movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the most risque movie he ever did.
Really?
Yeah.
No, never saw it.
There's some foul language and stuff.
Of course, he was on Diagnosis Murder. A couple of episodes.
With Dick Van Dyke, yeah.
Yeah, a little reunion of sorts there, I guess. Yeah, that's cool. A lot of voice work recently, so he's been doing a lot of that. Which is cool. It's glad to see he's still out there working. But yeah, genius movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out.
Of course, Don Knotts died in 05.
Yeah.
Very sad.
And he had a long stint on Three's Company, and he was just hilarious on that.
Some of his movies were... The Ghost and Mr. Chicken is genius. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You get to see him be scared a lot, which Don Knotts being scared is as funny as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could play scared better than Don Knotts.
Yep. And he was on the 70s show, Chicken Little. He did a lot of stuff in that Hermie and Friends with his buddy.
Pleasantville. He had a good part in Pleasantville.
Yep, yep. Yeah, he did. That was probably the last big movie role he had.
Mm-hmm.
Cats Don't Dance. He did a bunch of animated stuff as well. Big Bully, Step by Step, Matlock. Matlock! He had 17
with Andy episodes. Griffith, yeah. He was his buddy and he lived next door. Yeah. Yep.
Les Calhoun. That's who he played on that. Yeah, so he was on Newhart, too. Both him and Tim Conway were on Newhart at one point. So
nice.
Not necessarily the same episode, I think. But so that's cool that they got to work with the guys that were still doing it back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, Three's Company, 113 episodes.
Wow, Mr. Furley, he was awesome.
Damn, 113 episodes.
Yeah, I wonder if Norman Fell and Audra Lindley regret leaving Three's Company.
I would imagine so. Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
He was even on Fantasy Island. Fantasy Island.
I remember that episode, yeah.
Did you watch that show growing up?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too, unfortunately.
My parents on Saturday night was Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
Did you catch the remake that they did of that? Like semi-recently? It was probably like 5-6 years ago.
They got a new one.
They had a new one, yeah.
No, they got a new one again, coming out. And it's a female Mr. Rourke.
No. Well, the one they did recently was more dark. And it was Malcolm McDowell played Mr. Rourke.
Yeah. And they got a new one with a female Mr. Rourke.
Really?
So I guess I'm Mrs. Rourke.
Hmm.
But no, Herm Villages.
Yeah, I'm not going to get...
No, De Plane.
Not going to get any Hervé in there?
No.
The descendant of Hervé or anything?
He's dead.
No, he is. He is.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a version of him in... Pixels, that movie, that Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, yeah?
They had a little sections of there where they had the aliens playing clips
you
of old TV shows.
You watched that movie?
I did watch that movie, yeah.
Oh,
it's a family
God.
Movie. I
Is
watched it with
fun?
My kids.
Funny
it was okay. It was actually okay.
It's Adam Sandler.
Okay. It's Adam Sandler, yeah. But he does the family stuff pretty well, like bedtime stories and mm-hmm. you know those type of things are actually okay with
it. The one with Aniston was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
She looked good.
Yeah, she did. But most of his movies are pretty hit and miss. I mean, there's mm-hmm. probably a handful that I think I would watch. Happy Gilmore I liked.
I did too.
Punch Drunk Love, I thought was pretty good for a dramatic role. For
Spanglish was genius.
Spanglish was good.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that sandwich is awesome. I got the recipe for it. Yeah. Made it. It was freaking delicious. Freaking awesome. So, yeah, definitely you know, one of those, I'd say, top 10 80s movies for me as far as movies that I watched on the reg.
Yeah.
You know, just one of those ones. If it was on, it was a stop down.
And yeah.
It still is to this day. You just don't, people don't watch TV the same way anymore.
No.
I mean, I don't have cable. I don't see stop downs anymore. It's like my stop downs are what I put on. You know, it's what I want to watch.
Well, that's not really a stop down.
Yeah.
If you put it on.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's not
the
same. I mean, think about that. 10, 20 years from now, are we going to even have TV the way it is now?
I don't know.
Have shows that show at a certain time and a certain day, and you got to sit down and watch it.
Well, they got that on demand now, so you can watch it when you want to watch it.
Exactly.
Or you can DVR it or whatever. You know,
makes you wonder how they're going to figure out what shows are successful. I guess just based on who downloaded it.
Well, that's an interesting point. The Office almost got canceled after its first season. Mm-hmm. It only did like 6 episodes. It was a summer replacement and thing. And the ratings were horrible.
Yeah.
But somehow they looked at iTunes numbers
mm-hmm.
and DVR numbers and realized it was like the third most popular show on TV.
Wow.
So they renewed it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't
based
renew
on
it based on Nielsen.
Because
it never did well in Nielsen.
That's interesting. So.
Yeah.
So the new watchers, the Nuvo watchers were watching it on the
on
the
iTunes
formats,
or whatever. Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess that's what they do now. Yeah. I mean, you never hear about, you know, I don't know anybody. Did you ever know anybody that was a Nielsen's rater that
no,
got the box
no,
and did that
no,
whole thing?
No.
I always heard about it, but I never knew anybody that actually
did it.
I
think my mom filled out an application, but we didn't get accepted or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. That would've been
which
cool.
We should have been because my mom watched TV all day long.
Yeah.
All day long.
Mom just fixed everything.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised she didn't.
She would get the TV guide and circle what she wanted to watch for the week on Sunday.
Wow.
For the whole week.
God, TV guide. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
Well, this was out of the newspaper. Remember, you'd get a local TV
you get the
guide
little,
thing.
Yeah, the
you
one
know?
Page of it that shows that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there was a weekly one that would come in on Sundays.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and she'd go through the whole week.
That's right. They would have, like, the weekly. It was back when newspapers were at the height of things. They would have the magazine in the middle that would have, like, all the entertainment news plus the TV guide.
Uh-huh.
And, like, they'd have the movie screening times and stuff like
and
that.
And the coupons would be stuck in between. Yeah.
God, they don't do that anymore, I don't think.
Oh, well, I haven't had a newspaper in years.
The only newspapers I've read in recent, probably in the past year,
USA Today at hotels. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Yeah. That's your crap reading.
I read one the other day about the Peanuts movie. Yeah. I was reading about the progression of Snoopy.
Yeah.
It was a good article. You know, it was fun.
I actually want to see that. I do too. Peanuts a lot when I was a kid.
I love Peanuts.
Pretty close to what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, because Charles
said that Charles would be very happy with the incarnation of it. So that's cool.
Man, that was a horrible day.
Yeah.
We lost Tom Landry and Charles M. Schulz on the same day.
Yeah.
Two icons of my youth. I was devastated. I mean, that day sucked.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't know who to read about first. I was like, who's more important to me? I love Landry. I'm a Cowboys guy. But it's Charles Schulz. It's Peanuts, you know? Yeah. It was a tough day.
Sad. Yeah. And they even like went to the family before they made it and said, we're not going to do it unless you guys approve it. And they let him read the script and saw what they were going to do with it. And they're like, yeah, okay.
Well, he wrote in his will, Peanuts dies when he dies.
Yeah.
Unless his kids want to keep it going.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, let's keep it going. Let's go. Yeah. Yep.
Why not, man?
Yeah.
I mean, it's iconic. You know?
It is. It is.
It'll be iconic. Hopefully when our kids have kids.
You know, when it started, Snoopy didn't talk. Well, he never really talked.
Yeah.
But you saw his thoughts. Mm-hmm. He was just a dog.
Yeah.
And Charlie Brown wasn't a down on his luck guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a guy. And he just progressed it. And then it came formula and it was genius. Genius formula. Yeah.
Lucy's a bitch.
Lucy is a bitch. And Peppermint Patty and Marcy.
We're a deal. They're the first LGBT in the cartoons
Very progressive.
Very progressive, yeah. Even though they would never admit that. I don't think they ever said came out right and said that that's what it was. But
you knew.
Yeah,
you knew
what everybody it was. Knew.
Yeah.
But she always had a thing for old Chuck.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, Marcy always called Peppermint Patty sir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you kind of walked into that one, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to skip on the movie news today because we don't really have any. But that kind of rounds it out. Do you have anything else on the movie?
I'm good.
You're good? All right.
Just so, watch it.
Yeah, watch it. And
get your kids. It's fun.
Yeah, definitely fun and definitely worth a watch. It is a classic. So how can they find us, Randy?
We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. On Twitter, I'm at RandyRankin43. On Instagram, I'm RandyRankin95.
And on Twitter, I'm at CaptainFunkyPants. And on Instagram, I am Cigar_Luna. And as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.